Okay, Rabotai, we are going to lay in this week's Parshas Lech Lecha. And what age are we introduced? How old is Avraham Avinu when we're introduced to him? He is a ripe old 75 years old. And he's experienced things in his life that were very, very significant before Lech Lecha. And we'll read about that in a second. I'm going to share one very, very famous episode that happened. But there's a lot in Avram's life before we're introduced to him. Yet for some reason, the Torah only picks up the conversation about Avraham Avinu when he's 75 years old. He's given the command of Lech Lecha. And I saw this afternoon, there's a fantastic book written by Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, Shabbat Rafua Shlema. It's called To Heal a Fractured Soul. He has a beautiful idea, very, very profound idea. But he asks a basic question, which many ask, and that is, we have a whole history of Bereishis and Noach before you get to Avraham Avinu, and it's striking, but there's a certain backdrop that we get in Bereishis and Noach that are setups for Avraham, and teach us about, this book is called To Heal a Fractured World. And the message of the book, To Heal a Fractured World, is basically, the Torah wants us to fix the world. The world is broken. And the world needs fixing. And our job is to do our best to fix this fractured world. And he cites in the beginning of in this one chapter, where he develops the idea, what he calls, the name of the chapter is The Birth of Responsibility. And I want to speak a little bit about responsibility, because as Be'ezrat Hashem, we are going to talk later on about you guys having much more freedom, Be'ezrat Hashem, part of that freedom does invoke and demand responsibility. So I want to just focus a little bit on responsibility and then also focus on some core and fundamental ideas. So he says there are four intros to Avram, four what he calls acts, stories that precede the Avram story, major stories. Story number one is the story of Adam and Chava and the sin when they eat from the forbidden fruit. Story number two is Cain and Hevel. Story number three is the story of Noach. And story number four is the story of the Migdal Bavel, the Tower of Bavel. And he says, what exactly was the lesson, the responsibility lesson, and perhaps Avraham Avinu and Chava's failure? They're told, they're given one mitzvah. You can eat from all of the peros, the eitzim, all of the peros of Gan Eden. It's geschmack, it's unbelievable. One tree you can't touch. Not can't touch, you can't eat. And that's the one tree the Eitz Hadas you can't eat from. And the Nachash comes along and entices Chava. And Chava gets enticed, she eats. And then she goes ahead and gives to Adam. And he eats. And then they realize their nakedness, they realize their exposure, so to speak. And then they hide, as if they can hide from God. And God starts to seek them out. He, so to speak, finds them. And then he says to Adam, what did you do? Why did you do it? What happened? And what's Adam's response? The woman that you gave me caused me to do it. So notice what he does. He shifts blame on two levels. First he says, it's her fault. And in fact, what does she say when she's confronted? It's the Nachash's fault. So A, they shift responsibility, and Adam has the so-called audacity to even say, hey God, you gave me this woman. It's really your fault. Adam's failure is what Rabbi Sacks calls a failure to take personal responsibility. He shifts blame. He blames others. Says, this is her fault, this is your fault, and one of the common phenomena, when things are not always going our ways, we want to shift blame. We want to put the responsibility somewhere else, and this is part of the lesson of Adam, is to understand that at the end of the day, and yes, there's a lesson for all of us in this so unique year that we're experiencing, so different. And I don't mean just this year here in Israel, but I mean the past 8-9 months, is many people in the world, I don't mean just in the world, are floundering, are struggling, are undergoing mental health issues, all these challenges. And it's real, and it's not a joke, and it's serious. And it's very easy to pin our struggles and our failures on this, that, and the other thing. And it's legitimate. There's legitimacy to it. But it's important also to understand that with everything, with all these challenges, I also have to take personal responsibility, not for the outside things, but for my peace and doing my best to do my best. And just something to keep in mind. It's easy to kind of shift responsibility. I don't mean this case. I mean all situations. And that's what Adam and Chava do, and it's something that we're supposed to take away from. Story number two. Story number two is the story of Cain and Hevel. So here, Cain and Hevel both bring karbanos. Hashem accepts dedication intact. Cain brings a carbon, Hevel brings a carbon. Hashem accepts the carbon of Hevel, rejects the carbon of Cain. And Cain's upset. He's angry. And he takes his brother's life. Kills him. And once again, Hashem appears, seeks Cain out, and says, "Where is your brother?" And what is Cain's response? Hashomer achi anochi? Am I responsible for my brother? What are you looking at me for? Do I have responsibility for my brother? And Rabbi Sacks says, what is Cain's failure? Where does he lose his sense of responsibility? It is in his moral responsibility. He doesn't understand that, yes, you are your brother's shomer. Yes, you have to have your brother's back. Yes, not everything goes your way. And this is, Rabbi Sacks makes a line, he has a great line. Because Cain has the same problem that we all have. Because when I'm struggling with davening, with learning, with tzitzis, with tefillin, with whatever, it's so common that we will say something like, it's not working for me. I'm not feeling inspired. I'm not feeling it. And listen to the line. Cain thinks that religion is here to serve him. And when Hashem says, I don't like your carbon, I don't accept your carbon, Cain's response is, what? You don't accept? What do you mean? I brought a carbon. And religion is, we think often, Cain thought, religion is to serve me. And it's not true. We are religious to serve him. And he's allowed to say, I listened to the tefillah, but didn't work out. He's allowed to do that. It's not always about us. Cain lives in a world where it's about me. Good, I didn't bring such a good carbon, but I brought a carbon. How could Hashem not accept it? And then the jealousy, the moral depravity of killing brother. And then Hashomer Achianochi. The failure is in moral responsibility. He doesn't shift the blame. He doesn't say, Hashem, it's your fault. He doesn't say, it's Adam's fault, it's Chava's fault. He says, I don't owe anything to my brother. There is no moral responsibility. No constraints, no accountability. No one tells me or gives me boundaries, tells me I can't, tells me no. I do what I want. And that is Cain's failure. Noach comes along. And this we all know. I saw so many beautiful Divrei Torah in the Mevaseret Sapphire on this topic. But Noach is told to build a teva. And it takes him 100 years to build a teva. Many, many, many years. Why so long? And the answer, says the Ramban, is because people are going to ask him, what are you doing? And he's going to answer, well, God's going to destroy the world. So I'm told to build a teva to protect, to save the animals and a couple of people. So Noah should have said, do tshuva, change your ways, be better. And Noah doesn't. Noah sequesters himself in his teva, closes the door, saves himself, and lets the entire world around him perish. Noah's failure doesn't shift blame. He's a tzaddik, but he doesn't have a sense of collective responsibility. That it's not just about protecting my dalet amos, putting myself in the teva, but not only, yeah, he's not hurting anyone, he's not a kain who's murdering his brothers, but to go out and save them, save the world from drowning. And you know what happens to Noah after he leaves the teva? He can't handle it. He has what I would call survivor's guilt. He let the whole world drown. So what does he do upon exiting the teva? He drowns himself in the bottle and basically reveals his nakedness. His nakedness is revealed. That's Noah. And lastly, we have the door Hapalaga. They build a tower. They think they can rise and rebel against God, take over, so to speak. They have no boundaries. They think they can scale the heights and overcome the Ribono Shel Olam, trespassing on his domain. No limits, no higher order, no one in charge, no God. Rabbi Sachs uses a fancy word over here for this responsibility. Ontological responsibility is what they lack. A lack of understanding that there is something or someone bigger than myself. That there is a Ribono Shel Olam to look up to. The Dor HaPlaga was accountable only to itself. And as a community, their philosophy is the same exact philosophy that produces a Nazi Germany, an Aryan race that says, there are no boundaries. We build a society to do what we want, to create this elite class of human beings and trample on anyone or anything in our midst. There is nothing greater than ourselves. This is also the story of Soviet communism, where they do have a vision, an ideal, but it's a story of human bloodshed on the altar dedicated to the greater glory of mankind. But at the same sense, without a vision of there's something bigger than me. There's something outside of me. It's one of the challenges of technological modern man, is we build and we create and we produce. And sometimes what we're doing is we're producing these amazing, amazing things. We're going to the moon. We're exploring Mars. These are the modern day Migdal Bavel. We think there's no limits. This is the backdrop. These four stories of Avram Avinu. Listen to this. Unbelievable. Adam failed in terms of personal responsibility. It's me. I'm responsible. He blamed it on his wife, on Chava. He blames it on Hashem. Chava blames it on the Nachash. So what does Hashem tell Avram? Lech lecha. Pick up. Leave your homeland. Leave your father's house. Leave everything behind.
It's just you.
You are charting a new path, which means it's your responsibility. You can't blame how you were brought up. You can't blame the culture you were raised in. You can't blame it on your father, on your mother. Because we're going to uproot you. And it's on you to take personal responsibility. Curing the failure of Adam. Cain's failure was moral responsibility. HaShomer Achi Anochi. Do I have responsibility for my brother? So when Lot is taken captive by these kings, what does Avram do? He says, yes, Shomer Achi Anochi. I'm going to go ahead and save my nephew. It's not my brother, my nephew. My brother's son. And I'm going to go ahead and fight to redeem him. Yes, Shomer Achi Anochi. What's next? Noach? Well, you don't need my help for this. Obvious. Avram Avinu, when Sodom is about to be destroyed, Hashem says, can I withhold this from Avram? Noach, what would have Noach done? What are you telling me for? Do your thing, God. No. Avram says, 50 tzaddikim, 45, 40, 10 tzaddikim. How can you go ahead and destroy Sodom? He fights. He advocates. Maybe he can do something to fix, to help. And lastly, Migdal Bavel. The people, the community, who don't understand there's a higher authority. They think that they can achieve everything they want. They don't submit to a higher authority. So Avram is given the mission, the command of the Akedah to make the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate realization that there is a higher authority. And of course, that test he passes as well. So I think one thing we don't talk enough about in yeshiva, we should talk more about. We talk a lot about learning. We talk about davening. We talk about avodah ben adam lamakom. I think it's really, really important to also focus on chesed, on being a good friend, on being there for each other. Because we all know this is every year, the year in yeshiva is special and is unique. But this year has different kinds of hardships. Guys need chizuk. They need chizuk from Rabbeim. They need chizuk from the Rosh Yeshiva. They need a lot of things. Very chashuv. But probably the most important thing you can give to your chaver is you can be machazik. You can be a good friend. You can be there for a chaver of yours. And it's incredible how much you will grow from that. From when you see someone who's a little down, when you see someone who's not in the best place, to help him, to talk it through. I'm going through some of that myself. What can you do to help me? Talking to someone will help you, it'll help them. Just little things mean a tremendous amount. You know, I mentioned Zach and Appel and Mendy. I was walking in here. And again, I had a tough afternoon. I'll tell you why soon. But again, just a little bit of... they gave me chizuk. Mendy says to me, looking forward to the sicha. I don't know if that's true or not, but made me feel good. Made me feel good. Whether it's true or not, made me feel good. And you know, I read body language. People, it's hard. Bidud is hard. Quarantine is hard. But, and believe it or not, you don't believe it, but it's true. And I gotta tell you this. It's hard for me. Knowing that guys are struggling and are suffering, and it's really I carry it. My daughter saw, I was in I was thinking about a bunch of things this afternoon, and my daughter made a comment to me. She says, the guys should really, somehow they should know how much you're like, you're with them. You're vicariously experiencing their experiences, the good times and the bad times. And the fact that I can, walk out the door does not mean, and I'm not speaking about myself, I'm speaking about every Rebbe, does not mean we're not thinking about how to make your life better 24/7. And I don't mean just in quarantine, I mean all the time. And it's something that's just constantly, constantly the thought on all of our collective minds, because we know this is challenging, it's unique, and it's got its issues. Okay, can I say one more thought? Can I give you one more thought? One more, and then we'll get to Tachlis. One more thought. So you all know a Medrash. It's a famous Medrash. You're all aware of the Medrash, but it's very dramatic. And there's a Pasuk. And the Pasuk says, Vayamas Haran al pnei terach aviv. Last week's parsha. Haran died in the lap, literally on the lap, of his father Terach. How did Haran die? What happened? It's a very famous Medrash. A beautiful Medrash. I'll move it along quickly. The Medrash says that Terach had a business. He was in the idol business. Sold idols. And one day he had to go to town. So he says, Avram, go mind the store. Avram minds the store. And a guy comes in. Says, I want to buy an idol. And Avram says to the guy, how old are you? He says, I'm 60. And Avram says, you're an idiot. You're 60, and this idol that you want to buy was created a week ago. Why would you want to buy an idol that was created a week ago when you're 60 years old? And the guy got embarrassed. Avram did not make the sale. He walked out, and he left the store. A little while later, a woman comes in, and she's carrying a bag of solace, of flour. She says, I want to sacrifice the solas to an idol. And Avram takes a baseball bat. And he basically smashes every one of the idols, except for one of them. The biggest one. The lady left the store. And then a little while later, Terah comes back. And the biggest idol is the one who's holding the baseball bat. And Terah comes in, he sees his whole store is smashed to smithereens. Says, what happened? What happened? My store. And Avram says to Terah, you wouldn't believe what happened. This lady came in with a bag of solace. She wanted to sacrifice it. And the idols started fighting with each other. And this one said, I want it. This one said, I want it. And they started, boom, boom. WWE. And then one guy grabs a baseball bat, one idol, and smashes them all. And he's the one who's holding the baseball bat. And Terah says to Avram, you expect me to believe that story? It's ridiculous. And Avram says to his father, that's ridiculous. You're ridiculous. This whole, idol thing is ridiculous. And Terah got frustrated with his son. So he brings him to the tough leader of the times, Nimrod. Brings him to Nimrod. And Nimrod and Avram have a standoff. And this is their standoff. Nimrod says to Avram, bow down to the fire, because here we worship fire. And Avram says, why should I bow down to fire? Water extinguishes fire. So why would I bow down to fire? So Nimrod says, okay, bow down to water. But why would I do that? Water comes from clouds. So bow down to the clouds. But why do I do that? A wind can blow away a cloud. And on and on. So bow down to the winds. Well, a human being can withstand the wind. So Nimrod got frustrated with Avram. Says, enough of this. Either bow down to the fire, or I toss you into the fire. And Avram says, I'm not bowing down to the fire. Now, who's watching this whole scene that's going on? Haran is watching the whole scene. So as he's watching this whole scene, Nimrod looks at Haran and says to Haran, whose team are you on? Are you with me? Or are you with Avram? And Haran says, can I wait and see what happens to Avram? And Nimrod says, okay, let's wait and see what happens to Avram. Nimrod takes Avram, throws him into the kitchen. Aish! He's in there for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, and then walks out, no problem. The miracle of the Kibshanites. Haran, Nimrod turns to Haran. Whose team are you on? Haran says, I'm going to ride the winning horse over here. I'm with Avram. And Nimrod throws him to the Kibshanites. And of course, toasty Haran. He's done. Now, that's the pshat, says the Medrash. That's the elaboration. Haran died al pnei Terach Aviv. He died in the lap of, you know, this all started because of Terach. And that's why, that's what brought Haran down. What's the message? Midrashim like this are teaching us messages. And it's a message that I like to share this time of year, no matter what's going on, because it's a fundamental message. Rabosai, it is Yud Cheshvan, 10 days into Cheshvan. About 5 weeks till Hanukkah. 5.5, 6 weeks till Hanukkah. Okay? Yud Cheshvan. And it's the beginning of Chorazma. Beginning of Chorazma. I'm looking around the room right now, and I'm so happy just to be talking to Shana Aleph. Not for the Shana Bet. Shana Aleph, sweet, special Shana Aleph, guys. And what I'm going to share with you is Chas V'Shalom. Chas V'Shalom. Chas V'Shalom. But it's possible that in this room there might be 1, 2, 3, 4 Harans in the room. What do I mean by Harans in the room? A person who I will call a wallflower. He's kind of sitting on the sidelines, going through the motions, you know, checking things out here and there, in and out, dabbling a little, but not really, really invested. That was Haran. Not really, really invested. Avraham took a stand. He was not a sideline player. Not a bit player. He chose, he took a stand. Yes, he was Moser Nefesh. Not easy to do that, obviously. And we're not asked to jump into a fiery furnace. But he took a stand. And it's taking the stand, jumping in, not being the wallflower, being fully invested, that's what made Avram who he became. That when those moments came where he had to make the hard choice of what am I doing right now? How am I spending my post-night seder? How am I energizing myself in all areas? That's what sets Avram apart. And that's the genetic code that he gave us, is to be invested. And that's my challenge to you, is to be invested. Do not limit yourself. Do not be passive. Do not be the wallflower. I really, really like when guys use the following lashon. I'm sure you're familiar with it. Plony is making moves. Making moves. That's what this year is about. Making moves. Haran was not willing to make moves, and he's on the sidelines. He's a spectator, and it doesn't end so well. So I'm going to give everyone a bracha that we truly embrace and relish the mission of being Zera Avram, of being invested, jumping in, of making moves. And just to be very honest and open, certain rabbeim in this yeshiva make a living of going into the dorms, pulling guys out, getting in a guy's kishkas, if a guy's sleeping in or whatever, getting in there. And we can't do that now. We're not allowed to do that. We can't enter into your capsules. It's tough. We can't, in the same way, get into your kishkas. We try, but not. It's a little different. It's a little more distant. A little. And therefore, it creates even more achrais. You can't rely on a rehearsal. Yes, he's the one I'm talking about. Just in the dorms, waking guys up and make. You can't rely on that. You can't rely on that. It's got to come from you. And in the long run, it's going to make you better. Because it does come from you, and you get it. It's gonna make you better. It's gonna make you stronger. And that's the chizuk, and that's the mission, and that's the goal. Don't wait and see. Haran was wait and see. Don't say if you're in quarantine, after quarantine. As easy as it is to say that. If you had a bad Abayit meeting, don't blame it on the Abayit. It's not worth it. It's a good excuse. It might be a good excuse. It doesn't help. It's not gonna get you to the goals. Capsules issues, room issues, there are a lot of issues, a lot of challenges. It's tough, it's not easy. Not easy. But this is it. This is it. And therefore, we gotta do it. Gotta do it. That's it. We gotta do it. No other way around it. Okay. That's the formal dicha. No scrubs. I don't need no scrubs.